Chai FM, your station of choice since 2008.
We wanted to get a better understanding of the policy shift or what looks like a significant with regard to the European Commission. The European Commission President Ursula von der Leyen has announced plans to push for sanctions against Israel and even a partial suspension of trade ties, citing humanitarian concerns and possible violations of international law during the ongoing war. So it does mark one of the strongest EU policy stances that we've seen against Israel. To help us unpack this and what this could mean for Israel in terms of the economy and diplomacy as well as military, we are joined by Dr. Joel Parker of the Moshe Dayan Center for the Middle East. Dr. Parker, very good morning. Thank you for joining us. What does this announcement tell us about where the EU is standing right now on in terms of Gaza?
Well, thanks for having me. Yes, I think that it's definitely a shift that's been happening for the last the last year for sure. We've seen kind of the pot is boiling, or getting closer to a boil, and eventually when you heat up water and you add more heat and more heat, it will boil. So I think that's kind of the feeling I have, is that the talk has been kind of under the surface and getting louder and louder. What we see, I think, initially right now, that one of the main, points of weakness that Israel has vis-a-vis the European Union is the funding for research, which I think that's one reason why the EU itself might be a bit divided, actually. I'm not sure that the EU is going to be united enough to actually enact any kind of really painful sanctions for the near future. Now, again, the pot is still boiling, it's still heating up. It could happen. But right now, the biggest threat, I think, is to the research funding. And that's to the tune of hundreds of millions of euros per year. But it mostly goes, and this is where I think we have a lot of mutual interest. It goes to some defense projects for sure, but a lot of it goes to things like green energy. And Israel is doing a lot of research in green energy and, how to reverse desertification, things like that. And the EU actually funds this research because it wants this research to happen.
Right. So it's not simply because
we see kind of this kind of little bit of shooting themselves in the foot, in a sense.
And of course, the irony, or I don't know if it's irony, but the fascination that the one thing that they won't boycott is Yad Vashem. As if to say, that atrocity we get, because it was actually us. But the current atrocity, no, we don't need to acknowledge that, and we can react accordingly. It just seems so odd.
Yeah, I think that a lot of it is superficial, related to rhetoric on the Israeli side, and statements that I would say people like Ben-Gvir and Smotrich make, which don't translate well.
They're not helpful
into European ears, and not into American ears either. I don't know if you recall, but when Ben-Gvir went to America a few months ago, nobody met with him. He literally had no one to talk to. And I think that's one of the things that there's a little bit of a gap between this, right wing Israeli kind of macho kind of talk, and the way that people in the West want to talk about the situation. And granted, Israel's in the middle of a war, so people say things that you say in the middle of a war. But again, certainly if the rhetoric could be at least toned down, I think we would have a little bit more of an
easier
conversation
time
with the EU.
It's also interesting, though, that just this week we saw a statement by the UK government. Obviously, not that they're part of EU anymore, but we did see a statement by the UK government saying that there's no actual evidence of genocide in Gaza. Surely that must cause the EU some discomfort?
Right. And I don't think the EU has yet begun to use officially the word genocide. If it does use that word, and it could, in the coming months, especially because if I think Israel goes forward with some of the most extreme plans, which have been discussed openly, like essentially causing the immigration of the most or all of the population of Gaza from Gaza. I mean, I don't think it's going to happen, but because people talk about this openly, if it were to happen, I think that we would have, the pot would be boiling. I think we would have a lot more statements of at least not maybe not the G word, but ethnic cleansing, words that you don't want to hear ever with respect to the state of Israel.
Right. Do you think that these statements by the EU could strengthen the calls and the result of the ICC or the ICJ?
Sure. I mean, it's interesting to me, I think some people said, they haven't discussed putting sanctions on Netanyahu himself, but they have discussed putting sanctions specifically on like the ministers in the government, but specifically Ben-Gvir and Smotrich. But the interesting thing is there is an ICC warrant out for the arrest of Netanyahu. So Netanyahu can't actually really fly to the EU now, although he did, I think. Did he go to Poland? He went to Hungary, I think. He
Yeah, there
may
was
have
one of them
some.
that said, I think it was Hungary that said they will not respect it. And
They wouldn't
I can't
respect.
remember if he
Yeah,
actually
maybe one
followed
or
it
two
up.
countries
He did
have
go because he
openly
went from
defied.
there to meet the US, to meet Trump, and that was a very
So
sort of big
that's
trip.
the, there's I think it would be a touchy issue in certain countries like Germany. I think it would be a bit of a touchy issue to arrest Netanyahu. But, at the same time, I mean, the fact that we're even having this conversation about whether Netanyahu might be arrested or whether Ben-Gvir and Smotrich might be arrested too, because some people say that there's a secret list of people, including army officers, who could be arrested if they were to go to Europe, and that there already is like a file against them. And so, we're at a situation that this is even a discussion that specific people from Israel could be arrested if they go to Europe. And it's not entirely new. I mean, there was a case against Tzipi Livni, I think, which she made her not be able to go to the UK. It's not entirely new. There's always been this microscopic focus on Israel, which isn't necessarily self-reflective. We know when war crimes happened in Afghanistan or Iraq, it wasn't like they made a whole list of Western, army officers to arrest. Now, that doesn't mean that we get get off easy. If there are specific cases of misuse of force, I think that Israel itself should prosecute that. That's my personal
Absolutely.
opinion.
I would think so too. We are almost out of time, but I just wanted to ask you, what signals that we should we watch out for in the coming weeks to know if this rhetoric will become reality?
I think that if they definitely move to vote for sanctions, the EU that they will we'll have to see if they have the majority of states. I don't know if it's like a unanimous vote or if it's a majority. I know that they have to have a strong majority to enact certain kinds of sanctions. It's all very complicated. The big problem is the EU is very bureaucratic. And so one thing I just want to mention, I know we're out of time, but like, Qatar plays a role in this. Israel heating up the relationship with Qatar is a problem because Qatar supplies about 12% of Europe's natural gas. And if the Qataris are upset with Israel, they can put more pressure on Europe,
Interesting.
possibly to go further than maybe the EU would have normally gone.
Not something that we had thought of, so thank you for pointing that out. Dr. Joel Parker, thank you. The EU announcement, well, we're going to have to keep a very close eye on it to see if the rhetoric becomes a reality.